Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just heard the injury report and the update from Byron Kerr, but I want to go through the specifics of each of these announcements by the Commanders to get a little more detail on what things will look like. So we'll end with Lattimore, because I think that's the biggest conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Deami Brown's a sneaky big loss, though.
It is.
Deami had huge moments in that New Orleans game. People forget he almost put the game on ice with that deep shot to the 10-yard line when he went up the ladder, made a hell of a catch. But he has done good things pretty routinely, especially now post-Noah Brown. In the tunnel screen game, he had the deep shot from the goal line, if you remember, on what was nearly splitting the field in half, a 51-yard catch, 4 for 56. So otherwise, it was not pretty. But 60 yards of offense ain't nothing, and a 51-yard grab changes the game a little bit when he made that catch. I think not having him is a sneaky, significant loss. When you already don't have Noah Brown, Zach Ertz has been banged up and hasn't quite played at the same level the last couple of weeks. It's just a matter of now healthy bodies. It's like Terry, and where is the production coming from? Zacchaeus and Crowder both caught a couple of touchdowns, so you'd start there in the receiver room. But Deami was playing an important role.
Yeah, I mean, specifically in what he brings to the offense, too, he's big enough to play outside. When you think about OZ and Jameson Crowder, they're more so the slot guys. And even though maybe he doesn't have the blazing speed on a gun, he's still the guy that's your deep field, down the field threat, right? Like, he catches the deep ball to get you out of being backed up there. And he's been big, like you said, on some of those tunnel screens. He kind of had stepped in. We had questions about who would step in as the number two when Noah Brown went down. It's kind of been Deami. So not having him out there, I mean, you just saw they signed Chris Moore to the practice squad, who'd been with the Arizona earlier this year, caught a couple of passes last year with Tennessee. Not like he's anything spectacular, but maybe
signed KJ Osborne. Everyone thought that was a big deal.
True.
When
do we see him?
This week.
It's got to be this week,
right? With Deami out, I think it's now a lock.
But once again, he's another guy, too, that he's not a huge dude. He's typically more so an inside guy. I think he's bigger than Crowder and what you get in OZ. But they need someone to step up in that second receiver role. Deami had done some of that. I think it was still by a committee. But he was more so the guy that kind of fit outside. That not having him, I think, is going to be big, because at some point, you're just running out of bodies.
I wouldn't be surprised if Crowder got 5 or 6 targets this past week. He's obviously been able to grow his rapport with Daniels pretty quickly. He caught 3 balls on 3 targets against the Saints in the first half. You're like, well, there's your Noah Brown replacement, I guess. Last week, it was only 2 catches. They were obviously both touchdowns, so it felt pretty big. But it wasn't like he had a big game. It wasn't like even Zacchaeus. Now, you remember 5 for 70 and 2 scores sounds like a hell of a day. I mean, that's winning you a fantasy playoff game if you scoop him off a waiver wire. 49 of it was just on a busted, terrible play by the Eagles, where they initially had 12 and then at one point 10 on the field as they're running guys on and off, and then they miss a couple tackles, which isn't to take anything away from him, but it was a bust. So now you're talking about 4 for 21 the rest of the game. And he does have another touchdown in there, obviously, but I guess my point is I didn't think he or Crowder had the kind of game where I go, well, damn, I mean, they don't need Noah Brown. They're set. You can't afford to keep losing guys at a thin receiver position.
The other guy that has some size that maybe fits outside, but he's more so a slot guy, is Luke McCaffrey. Like, get this guy involved more. I mean, it's surprising.
By the way, how good did he look on his one screen change?
That was awesome.
And he was awesome. A great kick return.
And I'm not a Luke McCaffrey truther like a lot of fans are, but at some point, this guy's got to get on the field and make some sort of an impact, especially with more and more guys going down. So I'm intrigued if he gets more involved. Like we talked about Osborne, I think it also shows you how important the tight ends are going to be, and specifically Zach Ertz. I mean, it's kind of surprising, Grant, when you look back to last week, Zach Ertz had one catch for 12 yards. And like we were talking about, he's throwing to OZ, he's throwing to Crowder, and maybe that final play could have gone to Ertz if he didn't go to Crowder in the back of the end zone. Ertz was kind of open in front as well, so maybe he could have gone there, but Ertz wasn't really involved either. So they've got to find ways to get some of those other guys involved as well.
Just thinking anecdotally about the game, he threw outside way more than inside, and I wonder if he got a little spooked by the overthrow interception. It was the McCaffrey. It was, by the way, wide open, but he missed him. And then he obviously, late in the game, rolled into his right, threw middle of the field late again for another pick. Now, that obviously didn't affect his psyche earlier in the game. That's not how it works, but he did have two interceptions in the middle of the field, but it was a lot more of like the receivers outside the numbers as you think about it. The deep shot to Terry is on the pylon. The 49-yarder to Zacchaeus is out near the sideline. There were a lot of throws like that. Screens, obviously, going out wide. But if you just look at the receiver room going into this game, you've got McLaurin, who's having a historical year organizationally. He's a touchdown away from breaking the record for a receiver for any pass catcher. Then you've got, with Brown out, it will be Zacchaeus, Crowder, McCaffrey as your four. K.J. Osborne would obviously be active as a fifth, and I would bet they don't have a sixth up because McCaffrey at this point has proven he could be your kick returner. That's the whole room. So I think you will see Osborne active. I think you'll see him targeted. But this is, if there's ever going to be a week where Luke McCaffrey gets involved, I think it should be this week. And he can't have done anything but help himself a week ago with one of the great kick returning weeks of their season.
Yes.
And in the league this past week. And also, the one chance he got, as I mentioned, that 13-yard screen where he kind of read it out and followed his blocks and made a play after the catch. That's how you show them, okay, give me another chance. Like, give me another opportunity. So I would think with another injury, plus the week he's coming off of, maybe this is your 3 or 4 target Luke McCaffrey week finally.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to want to throw more of those tunnel screens, he probably fits the bill the best, right, of which receiver's going to run it outside of a Terry, which they haven't really run those with Terry. So if you're going to run it with someone else, it feels like your best option is going to be with McCaffrey. Real quick, though, if you're talking pass catchers overall, I think we saw last week with Ben Sinnott that it's tough for them to get him on the field when they ask him to run that like sift into a screen and he's got to go get that block on Slay and he just completely whiffs and he blows up the play. Because I think you could get him involved in the passing game, right, Grant? Like, this is a guy in the preseason that showed you just get him the ball 2 yards past the line, he can run and break some tackles.
It's one of the most surprising things about this season. They have no interest in involving him as a receiver.
But if they can't trust him blocking, then they're just not going to get him on the field. And so there's,
I think he's mostly been good as a blocker. That's what you're referencing is a really hard ask.
It is. But they've had some issues with it. I don't know quite understand what it is, but I would love to see, like, if you're worrying about who you're going to get the ball to in the passing game outside of Terry, and if Ertz isn't going to play a large role, then guys that can make stuff after the catch happen might need to be a bigger part of the game plan. And I think Sinnott is one of those guys that you're not going to ask him to do anything too much. You're not asking him to be Ertz and figure out the void in the zone 10 yards down the field. You're asking him to run a tight end drag, and Jaden hits him, and he turns a 2-yard catch into an 8-yard gain.
Yeah, if you could get Terry 10 to 12 targets and 7 or 8 catches for close to 100 yards, what you're talking about then is, from the other 4 guys, you're looking for a combined, you know, 12 catches and 75, you know, if it's 12, it'll be higher, obviously. You know, you're talking about 100, 120 at that point. But if it's 10 catches for 90 yards or something, it can work. Then you involve a couple of throws out of the backfield to Brian Robinson or Jeremy McNichols. You know, if Ertz goes 4 for 30, and you have a pretty good day throwing the football. But I think it's going to have to be Zacchaeus, Crowder, because even though, for me, I'm desperate to see more, I guess I would technically be a Luke McCaffrey truther, it just has not happened.
Yeah, it just hasn't showed up much.
Wiley being out at right tackle, it sounds like we're in agreement. You'd rather him be healthy than not, but it's not a fall off to Cornelius Lucas.
I think if anything, what it is you just lose the security blanket, right? Because you feel good like you have 3 offensive tackles when Wiley's out there and Lucas is ready to go for either one.
Boom.
When you don't have Wiley, now you're suddenly like, if anything happens, you're screwed.
And we saw this past week, Coleman gets hurt and is slow to get up. Doesn't take much. You get rolled up on if you're Lucas. And then Trent Scott's coming into the game, and that's where you have a pretty Grand Canyon-sized gap.
Correct.
As we've seen. So, yeah, it's a just not having him means you're down to now those two guys need to stay on the field for you to feel okay. The three other players that are out are specialists mostly, and McGee and Tyler Owens notably.